Thank you, Ian. Let's pray for the children and release them to the Sunday school. Oops. Father, we thank you for the children. Father, you have asked, you have called us to disciple our next generation. And Lord, we just ask for your blessings as the children go out for their Sunday school, regardless of how many we have. But Lord, every single children, every single child, you will never stop them from coming to you. And Lord, I ask for your blessings, and may every single kid that is in Sunday school, they will learn, as they learn, they will be alert and attentive. And as for the teacher, people who are teaching them, will be blessed as well, as they will fellowship together in your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, church.
Morning, Jimmy.
Thank you. That's a shock. It's as shocking as the scripture today. It seems like we Christians are carnivores, or we are cannibal. We eat meat and we drink blood. It's a horrible scene when you read this part of the scripture. And I don't know what John was thinking when he written down this. If I were John, I would probably leave this part out. I'll probably, you know, because in this world right now, you know, as a preacher, we know we have to keep a balance of what you preach. Because when I was in theological college, my lecturer, my dean tell us that, look, you are called to be a preacher, you're called to be a pastor. You do not go to the church and preach whatever the church wants to hear. But when I became a pastor, that's not true. I wish I can go back to her and say, look, you know, I'll be hopping from churches to churches all the time. Because people just don't like what you preach. Just don't like what the Bible says. They want to hear what they hear. That's why in Timothy said, in the time when Paul advised Timothy, said, look, in the time when you're pastoring in church, remember this. You are pastoring a generation of people who have something in their ears they are not willing to hear. But you still got to strive and keep on. So today, this morning, I'm not going to be afraid of you. You know, I'm going to say what the Bible says. All right? That's why I love the series about, I love preaching about a series on the whole book. So that you will not come to me and tell me and say, oh, you are talking about me. I'm not talking about you because this has been arranged. You know, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So this was way arranged way before you have anything on me. All right? So what we look at, we come to the very last part of Jesus' sermon. Of the I Am the Bread of Life series. When you actually compare the I Am, the seven I Am statements that was focusing there, you see something very strange. Now, what happened is that this, when God created the universe, the whole of universe, the peak of His creation was creating man, right? So when we create man, and man is the only one who has that living breath from God. And God just give him some air, give him his breath, and we become a living man with soul. And God gave two commandments, two instructions. If you read carefully in Genesis 1 and 2, you will find that God wanted them to create Adam and Eve. He said, you guys be fruitful. You know, you can order any animal, name all the animals, all the fruits, everything you can eat. And the other commandment is that do not touch, do not eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's only two commandments that God has given to mankind when we first started. So, and then in chapter 3, we see man fall. Man disobeyed God. By taking from the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. Why? Because they want to live their own life. Because they want to try out. We've been living in God. I'm getting bored now. I want to try something different. You know? So they decided to take that tree, take that fruits. Look, by the way, that fruit is not an apple. Don't blame it on apple. All right? It's not apple. We got no idea what fruit was there. Some scholars say that it could be pomegranate. You know, that is a, if you read the Bible, pomegranate is a, actually a biblical fruit, you know, right from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But anyway, when men fall, what happened? Two things happen. First, you become spiritually disconnected from God. God cut you out from the Garden of Eden. Two, you become unfruitful. That's a man of all. Look at us today. We might be very successful in technologies, we get all the gadgets, but at the end of the day, we are not fruitful. We might be sitting in the church today, feeling comfortable with all the air, warm, you know, but are we fruitful? Are we still connecting with God? You know, we can connect with each other as well, but are we connecting with God? Lately, I've been reading a book called Lead Like Jesus. The Lead Like Jesus is not a leadership book. It's a book that tells you how you lead yourself, actually. At first, I thought it was a leadership book, but later on, I thought, nah, it's a book that how you lead yourself. So in the book, it states, you need to have a goal. So you need to have a goal in your life in order to lead yourself. So when you have a lead, he has step 1, 2, 3. So the author said, look, even if you are really at your best at step 3, if you can't fulfill step 2, you defeat the whole purpose. So God wants us to be fruitful, provided we are connected with them, with God. If we are not connected with God, it doesn't matter how fruitful you are. It doesn't matter how big we are. It doesn't matter how small we are. If you're not connected with God, you defeat the whole purpose. That's why we are here this morning. We are online this morning. You take the effort to turn on your TV, not because I look good, not because of the song, but because you want to listen to the Word of God. You want to worship together because you know that you're connected with God. And this is the thing that you're committed to have that appointment with God. So then when we look, what happened when men fall? Men fall because they make the wrong decision to take the wrong fruit. They eat the wrong food. So today when we come to the topic of I am the bread of life, so Jesus is, the author John is putting in perspective and allowing us to see something, see the full picture. What is he trying to tell us? When I look at the John Gospel, the seven I am statements actually reveal what the author was trying to do. Not only did John try to draw our attention to who Jesus is and why is he important to us, but he is also intentionally trying to draw us back to where we fell. Draw us back to how we were disconnected with God due to our sins. How we are so unfruitful because of our disconnection with God, because of our disobedience with God, spiritually disconnected and causes spiritually unfruitfulness and also physically unfruitfulness. So that's why you see from the seven I am, he begins with, I am the bread of life. That is a fruit that you need to choose. So that's why John spent the whole chapter 6, 71 verses talking about this. Because it's so important, because mankind fall because of the fruit. We make the wrong choice and eat the wrong fruit. And today, Jesus come and say, I am the bread of life. I am here to give you the right fruit, the correct fruit. Don't choose it wrongly. And then at the end of this I am statement, John arranged it in such a way and said, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. If you're not connected with him, you cannot produce fruit. When you are connected with Jesus, the fruit comes naturally. It goes right back to the Genesis. So it's, in other words, I am the bread of life. It's the beginning of, you believe in Jesus, your life will restore. You will be fruitful. You will restore back to where God originally created you for. The fall of mankind initiated our fall. It's initiated by how we eat and what we eat. And the Holy Spirit just desires us to pick up, just want us to get up where we fell. Isn't it? It was initiated by our fall. We take the wrong fruit, but God is ending all of this. by drawing us to feed on his son, Jesus Christ. Unless you understand this, you feel that, wow, becoming a Christian need to suck the blood and eat the meat, eat human flesh. That's what when my non-Christian friend tell me though, you guys are cannibal. You guys are incest. Why? Because you marry your brother and sister. That kind of idea. Unless you seriously yourself understood this, you can't explain. You might fall into the trap and say, oh yeah, they're right. You know? So this is a very awful part of the scripture. And later on next week, when you come back, you see, a lot of people left and they call themselves disciples. No, John called them disciples of Jesus. Stop following Jesus. So next week we'll come to that. So stay tuned. Right? And Jesus said something. Jesus said in the scripture, he says that, I am the living bread. Whoever eats this will receive eternal life. I am the living bread. Whoever eats this, whoever, anyone, if you believe in Jesus. All right? So as last time I said, eat here is a metaphor. It's a metaphor of our belief. So it's just the same as whoever believe. All right? But Jesus is using a metaphor here to allow us to see. Allow us to see how we can be united with him. So eating means believing, is taking in, receiving in, seizing the opportunity, grab hold of it. In other words, if we put it today's word, hoarding. You just hoard all of God's grace to yourself. And that God allowed us to hoard all this thing. All his love, all his grace, all his forgiveness. He wants us to hoard that. All right? And it is not enough for you just to come and listen. Just not enough to come and say, oh, I'm so inspired. I'm so, thank you, Jimmy, for your words today. It's not my words. Remember, it come out from my mouth. But I believe the word of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever you want to thank me, thank God. You have to eat. And eating is a personal thing. No one can do it for you. Like I said last time, you can't do it by proxy. All right? You can't say, my mom, I've been a generation, I'm the third generation a Christian in my family. So, if you live in a car, in a garage, does it make you a car? Not so, right? So you have to calm yourself. All right? It's just like eating transform your body, believing in Jesus transform you spiritually. All right? Believing in Jesus give you eternal life. That's the deal. If you ask me how, we follow on. I hope that I can help you with this today. To make you to have this assurance that you're not a Christian. You're the disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're trying to get at. When we try to believe, it's so hard for people to believe. I ask myself, I say, why is it so hard? But when I sit down in my silence time, when I think back, it was hard for me back then. It took me a long while. It took me a life for a life. All right? I was so obstinate that I refused. I bully Christians. I bully whoever talk about Christ. I was in the boys' brigade. I bullied people in the boys' brigade. People just bear with me because they follow of Christ at a very young age. But in the end, when I start to think back and say, wow, I was so obstinate back then. No matter how people tell me about Jesus, I just refuse. I don't know what I was rejecting. I would just reject because of the sake of rejecting. And Jesus said, I am the living bread today. There are three aspects of eating or believing, if you like, here, that I want you to have a look today. Now, the first one we want to have a look is, the Bible says that for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Now, what it's trying to say here is that, first of all, it's real, it's true. Have you ever go to a restaurant and the cook come out and said, this is real food. This is real drink. Nobody says that, right? Food is food, drink is drink. What do you mean real or not real? So what Jesus is trying to emphasize that, what you're taking is not false, but that is not eternal. All right, that is not of God. That's not of heaven. But what I'm talking about here is the real thing, the real deal from heaven. The first thing that we need to believe, if you say they're talking about belief, you first of all, you need to believe Jesus is the only true Savior, the real deal, the only Savior. If you're thinking about, wow, there are so many religions in the world, and then all these can be my Savior, then unfortunately, there's nothing I can tell you about. All right, but this is what the Bible says. I believe everything the Bible says. Not every single word that the Bible is not. Sometimes there's error in translation, but that doesn't prevent me from coming to the Lord. All right? So you have to read the Bible as a whole, and Jesus is proclaiming that He's the real deal. He is the true Savior. You can't get it from anywhere. Anyone that comes before you is not true. All right, all the food that you have enjoyed, I've given you, I'm feeding the 25,000 people. You see that thing? Those are food, but those are not real food. After you eat that, you still go hungry. You come and look for me because of food. Remember? That's what I say. But you want us to say, you not only have to believe in Jesus as the living bread, but one crucial thing is that you have to believe Him as your dying blood. What that means is that you need he's the bread. Maybe you take his flesh, he suffered for us. He took every single whip because of our sin. And because of his blood, we're forgiven. You have to believe that. Now, let's have a look at what he says in here. I just want to show you the statistic. This is the new translation for NIV. The latest translation, they will call, if you, in the old translation, you say, I tell you the truth. But this one, you say, very truly, I tell you. All right, why they translate it was because the scholar just found that this word actually means amen. It come out from Jesus' mouth saying amen. That's what we pray, right? Amen means everything is at your will. So what he's trying to say here is that very truly, I tell you, it happens almost 70 times in the four gospels. But it never appears anywhere else in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Some people might be saying it, but it was not God. Definitely not God. But Jesus is the only one who said this. Very truly, I tell you. So every time, the next 60, if you ever come across in the false gospel, whenever you come across Jesus say, I tell you the truth, you need to add up, try to put them together and see the full picture. All right? So I try to put them together for you. But you see, in John Gospel, it happens 25 times, said by Jesus. And 4 times happen in John chapter 6. In this, I am the bread of life. You know how serious Jesus is about this bread? He must be a bread that is he wants us to get it. He wants us to buy it. It's not the kind of bread that you get from baker's store. You know, but this is the bread that he wants us to get. And first, he has a pattern that is going down. First, he said that, look, you don't eat food that is going to spoil. Put your focus on something that matters, that is of eternal value. Think about that. Everything that we do today has no eternal value unless it's connected with God, including coming to church. If you come to church just to social, just to have your morning tea, sadly, there's no eternal value here. If you just come here to enjoy some of the songs that you like, there's no eternal value. Including our prayer has no eternal value. Only Jesus Christ has eternal value. So Jesus wants us to say, you focus on that. All these prayers, all these Bible reading, all these preaching, all these gathering are good. But it's not going to bring you to eternal. By coming to the church, listening to the preaching, singing a few songs, saying a few amen, it's not going to bring you to heaven. But what does Jesus say? I am the eternal bread of God. First of all, I am the life for the world. Then he goes on and says, I am the bread of life. Telling said that this life that for the world is eternal life. It's not the length of your life on earth. It's the life that you're going to spend eternity with God. Then he carried on today. Today's focus is say, I am the living bread. You see, this bread is not just dead, it's alive. It's living. It has unlimited resources. So that's what he's trying to say. And he says that the blood here, we see that in the scripture, it says my blood. My blood simply is simply an expression of Jesus' death. So you have to take my flesh. In other words, Jesus is trying to say, you got to believe who I am and what I'm going to do for you. You can believe, Jesus is saying that if you want to have secure your spot in eternity, that's what you need to believe. You believe in my living and you believe in the death I die for. I die for you. I die not because I'm an evil person. I die because you sin. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there's no hope for you to ever come back to God except through me. That's what Jesus is trying to say. You can believe Jesus as a son. He's the Son of God who came down and blessed us, the truth and the grace. You can believe that he's the source of eternal life. But unless you believe his sacrificial death, you cannot be saved. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the truth. I don't know how else you can. Can you build a ladder that is so high that you can get there? You know, what is the tallest skyscraper you ever seen? No one has ever touched. Some people in the Bible is trying to build a tower that is so high to reach the sky, but in the end, we end up, look at our colors, look at our language. Yeah? We try to build that high. I don't know if anybody else with the technology, are we able to build that? People have shot a rocket to the moon. Now, somehow, I don't see anybody is as stupid as the people from Babylon, from Babel, you know, to recognize that. I think we learned our lesson, a hard lesson. So you can believe that. It's just that you can believe that he's the source of life. But unless you believe, he died for your sin. And you are sinners that will need to receive mercy from God. You can't enter his kingdom. You have no place in his kingdom. So as bread, he nourishes our life. As blood, he cleanses our life. So Jesus is the true Savior of the world. He's the one that whom we should worship. Nobody else. He is the Lamb that is providing atonement to satisfy God's wrath for our sin. And we worship him because, not because he looked good, not because of what the Bible has said. We worship him because of who he is, and he has died for our sin in our place. That's why you worship him. That's why we come here and give thanks. Have you ever been thankful with someone who did something for you, and you're so thankful that you are every single time you meet that person, you want to thank him or thank her all the time? You can't thank that person enough. That's how I feel about God. That's how I feel about Christ. Are you feeling that way? I just can't thank God enough. Every single time I open my mouth and pray, I say, thank you, God. And then the next moment I know, I don't know how to thank you anymore because I got no words for what you have done for me. So that's why I call myself a lousy prayer. I'm a lousy prayer because every time I open my mouth, when I sit down, when I kneel down, when I go for my jog, when I go for my walk, try to pray, there's nothing out from me. But just my mind with vision that is going through. I say, God, I just don't know how to pray to you. I just don't know how to. That is how bad I am. Spiritually disconnected. We need to have that. Jesus said, eat me, drink me. So, church, eat up and bottoms up. That's what we say. That's what you need to do in Jesus. Every single time you go attend a party, just like that one, just like the kids' space this morning, every time you attend a party, look at the food and look at the drink. Remind yourself of Jesus Christ. As you are eating the physical food, think of the eternal food that God is providing for us. And the second thing I want you to see is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, the significance of eating the Jesus flesh and drinking his blood is that we can remain in him and he in us. Wow. I call it wow. Can you say wow?
Wow.
Can you say wow? Wow. You're not wow enough. Wow. It sounds like meow to me. All right? Now, this is union in Jesus. You know, union with God. How do you union with God? Oh, that's impossible, isn't it? But Jesus make it all possible for us. It's impossible for any human. We are made from dust, remember? We are sinners. But God is a holy God. He allowed us to remain in Him, He remained in us. Wow, there is a union. There is a union between the holy God and Him and us. And this work can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. You and I can't do this. That's the beauty of this belief. It requires us to do nothing but to believe. It requires us to change nothing but to believe. It requires us not to get 100% perfect of ourselves, but just believe. Everything is done by Christ. You just need to believe. That is to apply. I'm not talking about you psychologically psycho yourself into believing. I'm talking about talking sense to you. This is the truth. And Jesus is presenting us a simple truth. Believe in me. You believe in me. You believe my death. You believe who I am. You have union with me. The moment that you and I are union with Christ, what that means is that we can live with the Holy God. I call myself still a sinner. I would not call myself, say, I'm a pastor. I'm the holy man. No, I'm not. I tell people I'm not. If you think of being a pastor, I just get trained 12 years of my study to be here today. All right? Not because I'm holy. No one on earth is holy. No one is righteous. I don't care whether you're Pope John 13 or 20 or 100. You're not a holy man. You're just a person. All right? The only way, how do we know that our belief has such a union? There's one way you probably want to see. The only way that we ever truly live in union with Jesus and follow Him, the only way I know, maybe you go other ways, show it to me, is by submission. I don't know how else you can believe in Jesus without submitting to Him. That's the only way, because submission means obedience. You submit to what? You submit to who He is. He's the Son of God. You submit to His will. You submit to His word. Whatever He says, I believe. Maybe I don't understand it. 10 years ago, even up to now, after I do the research, I still don't really understand it. But it's enough for me to believe. Because this comes from His mouth, I believe. I believe every single work He did. Maybe I do not understand how He did that miracle. Maybe I don't understand why He wanted to resurrect Lazarus. Why can't He resurrect my uncle who is on the deathbed? I don't know. But I submit to His will. Your will, Lord, not mine. Whatever. I remember many years ago when my uncle passed away, the day before he passed away, I prayed to the Lord. I was praying. I was keeping him company. I was reading the whole of Revelation to him. And I pray, I said, Lord, if you keep his life, I will serve you for the rest of my life. That's the deal I made, you know. And look at my uncle, did my uncle die? He passed away. And something struck me. It's just like God telling me, He said, now, I'm taking your uncle away. You still want to serve me? And finally, I got to kneel down and say, Lord, your will, not my will. It's not my choice. I have no place to argue. I have no place to make a bargain with you. It's your choice. You are the master. When you submit to His love. You submit to His grace. You submit to His forgiveness. Submit to everything that is of Him. All right? Without submission, without obedience, we cannot do His work. If you are not submissive enough, you cannot do. Look at us. If we are not submissive enough to each other, no work in church is going to be done. All right? All we can is just keep on grumbling on each other because there's no obedience. If we cannot submit to God, we cannot be fruitful. We'll never flee from sin. We'll never enjoy the true peace and the courage that is in ministry. Most of all, if you don't submit to Jesus, you will never have a life of Jesus in you. Now, first we see Jesus says, believe that I am the eternal bread of life. Then he says that I am the bread of life. Then he says, now he says, I am the living bread. Believe that. I am the living bread. The Father, my Father live is the living Father who sent me. And I live. That's why I live. Because of the Father. So it's a union. All right? Then they said, this is the bread that came from heaven. That's living bread. This bread is not dead. This bread is alive and is moving. And this bread is pre-existence and eternal. And it gives a meaning of unlimited supply. How you like that? Right? All you need to do is just tap into it. It's just like living water. It's just like water. It keeps on coming and coming and coming and coming. The life of the Father, the life of the Son will be in you. All right? And because of Jesus' life, whoever live, whoever feeds on him will live too. That's a promise. It's a promise given to every single one of us. It's a promise that you can't get. So what do you believe? We believe Jesus is the true Savior who died for us on the cross, who resurrected for us and ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to us. We believe that. We believe that the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit come into you and you are union with Christ. You have union with God. And we do believe that Jesus is still alive. How can you experience that? Have you ever experienced that? That the belief I'm talking about just now, right now, the belief that Jesus is talking about right now, have you ever experienced that? One of the obvious ways I experienced that is this. The Great Commission. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone else? Have you ever go all the way and take off your face, your whatever, I don't know which position you are, whether you're shy or not, or maybe you think like, oh, this Great Commission, I don't have the gift of this. I think you might get the wrong idea because this commission is for every single person, whether you like it or not. The moment you want to be the follower of Jesus Christ, you are a disciple. And only the disciple can build a church. If you see that the church is not growing, that means there's no disciple in the church. All right? Only the disciple build the church. Only the disciple expand the church. My experience of this is that when you go and make disciples, anyone, just pick one. Just pick a person. Pick someone, even someone that is close sitting next to you. You say, okay, I would like to disciple that person. God promised, give us a promise. I'm always with you. That's the very first thing I caught from Great Commission. Not because of gold. I don't like the gold. Same as everybody says, I don't like the gold. You know? But I love the fact that Jesus be with me. So I try my opportunity, every single opportunity to make disciples. If I don't have anyone that I can disciple, I look for someone. I initiate that. I intentionally went to look for someone. I remember many, many years ago, when we were challenged as a church, as a young adult, the pastor challenged the church. All right, now we got this discipleship course. You guys finish the discipleship. So you guys go out and make sure, look for anyone in the church. Pick the easiest one to disciple. Use the same book, sit next to him or her, and just disciple her one day at a time. It's a journey with someone. And it took me about 18 months to get someone where every single young adult that was trained already got one the moment we finished the course. And I was praying, I was praying, I was praying. Well, as usual, people don't like me. And I found someone, new, and came to church. I walked with him for 6 months. I walked with him for 7 months, 8 months. Then he disappeared. I don't know why. The last time I heard was that this person is in a casino. You know? Not working there, gambling there. What did I do? I should have been very discouraged and very disappointed. My first disciple. But no, I keep on looking for the next one. I went on and looked for the next one. Every time I finish one, I look for the next one. I keep looking. Every single time, God has never failed me in this promise. I am with you to the end of time. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but this is God's promise to me. And have you grabbed hold of this promise? Do you want to experience God be with you all the time? Because Jesus is that. Then you need to think, how can I make disciples? Find a way to do it. So church, this is the ministry, this is the mystery of salvation. The mystery of this salvation is Jesus is alive. All right? He's the living bread that we need to feed on. Are you feeding on him? Can you believe that? God is inviting us to believe in who his son is and what he has done for us. And Jesus is inviting us, inviting the world to feed on him. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. I hope that this, you can accept this. All right? I'm not trying to convince you in something. I'm just trying to pass you this message. I hope that you make the right choice. I don't know what your situation is, but definitely I hope that you can submit to this. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your bread. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that you have revealed to us through your words. Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will prompt us to be diligent in reading your words so that we can not just receive enough information and knowledge, but also allowing your words to transform our life. You have shown us that in the beginning there was the word, and your words is our living bread. And today we can live and alive because you are the God that is alive. You're not like any other idols that we created that will not talk or will not do anything for us. But you are the living God that we can trust. We have many in many very different situations. We're not sure whether who is in what situation, whether we are weak or we're strong. But Lord, I ask that you will help every one of us to have this assurance that, Lord, we are in union with you, we are in unity with you, because we believe what you have done for us. And we have no words to thank you enough. And Lord, we just thank you. Again, we just can't thank you enough for what you have done. We just ask that you continue to empower us to be able to disciple or maybe reach out to the person that is next to us. Just one person will do. With the busy schedule that we have, Father, I just ask that we can have that opportunity to be able to serve, opportunity to show others how we believe. We thank you all this in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Okay, let's stand and see.